Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the chapter of prayers by Queen Kunti. We haven't got to them yet, but we're right in the middle of Ashvatthama trying to kill Parikshit in the womb of his mother Uttara. So he has already released the Brahmastra at this point. I don't know if it's on here. Sometimes it doesn't even turn on. We'll try to get some sound. So, text 14. Antishtam sarvabhutanam
Antishtam sarvabhutanam
Atma yogeshvaro hari
Atma yogeshvaro hari
Svamaya yavrnod garbham
Svamaya yavrnod garbham
Vairatya kurutantave Antakshtishta sarva bhutanam
Antakshtishta sarva bhutanam
Atma yogeshvaro hari
Atma yogeshvaro hari
Svamaya yavrnod garbham
Svamaya yavrnod garbham
Vairatya kurutantave
Vairatya kurutantave
Antakshtishta sarva bhutanam
Antakshtishta sarva bhutanam
Atma yogeshvaro hari
Atma yogeshvaro hari
Svamaya yavrnod garbham
Svamaya yavrnod garbham
Vairatya kurutantave
Vairatya kurutantave
Astasta sarvabhutanam
Antasta sarvabhutanam
Atma yogeshvaro hari
Atma yogeshvaro hari
Vaishnavis?
Antastha sarvabhutanam
Antastha sarvabhutanam
Atma yogeshvaro hari
Atma yogeshvaro hari Svamaya yavrnod garbham Svamaya yavrnod garbham
Vairatya kurutantave
Vairatya kurutantave
Antastha sarvabhutanam
Antakshta,
Antakshta,
being within,
sarva,
all,
bhutanam,
of the living beings,
atma,
soul,
yoga ishvara,
the Lord of all mysticism,
hari,
the Supreme Lord,
svamayaya,
by the personal energy, avrinot, covered, garbham, embryo, vairatya, avutara, kurutantave,
for the progeny of Maharaj Kuru.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Lord of Supreme Mysticism, Sri Krishna, resides within everyone's heart as the Paramatma. As such, just to protect the progeny of the Kuru dynasty, he covered the embryo of Uttara by his personal energy. Purport. The Lord of Supreme Mysticism can simultaneously reside within everyone's heart or even within the atoms by his Paramatma feature, his plenary portion. Therefore, from within the body of Uttara, He covered the embryo to save Maharaj Prickett and protect the progeny of Maharaj Kuru, of whom King Pandu was also a descendant. Both the sons of Dhritarashtra and those of Pandu belonged to the same dynasty of Maharaj Kuru. Therefore, both of them were generally known as Kurus. But when there was a difference between the two families, the sons of Dhritarashtra were known as the Kurus, whereas the sons of Pandu were known as Pandavas. Since the sons of the grandsons of Dhritarashtra were all killed in the Battle of Kurukshetra, the last son of the dynasty is designated as the son of the Kurus. Maum Vishambaraya Krishna Sadhupada, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamani, Namaste Saraswati, and Gaurarana Pacharni Nirvishesha Srinivada Bhaskatara Sitarama. So the last part of the purport talks primarily about explaining why this phrase was that Maharaj Parikha was considered the progeny Maharaj Kuru. Obviously, this is the dynasty that they come from, and both brothers, Dhritarashtra and Pandu, were from that dynasty. Although often it's differentiated, or sometimes the Pandavas are talked about their line, and the Kurus are mentioned more as the line of Dhritarashtra. Still, they were all Kurus. And so what this is really implying is that the importance of this is that Maharaj Prickett was the very last of the line, of all the lines, because everyone else was killed. Everyone else, all the sons, grandsons, everyone was killed except for the five Pandava brothers. And so, in other words, there would be no descendants from them. Abhimanyu, all of them, you know, Abhimanyu Parikit's father was killed. They were all killed except Maharaj Prickett in the womb. And therefore, Krishna came to save him. And that was, of course, Abhimanyu's desire. He thought somehow that would be pleasing to his guru, Dronacharya, to wipe out all the Kurus. Big mistake. Anyway, he got his. So, the first part of the main part of the verse in purport is very interesting because it's talking about Krishna within the heart as the Paramatma. Prabhupada says, the Lord of Supreme Mysticism. Now, why Supreme? Why is it, you know, sometimes, you know, Krishna's called all different things in all different names. So you think, why is he called a certain name in a verse? It's not just arbitrary, you know. In other words, this is part of his mystic power that he can be Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, enacting his pastimes, and at the same time, he expands as his plenary portion as Paramatma. So that's part of his mystic potency. He resides within everyone's heart as the Paramatma. And thus, being there, he expanded to protect Maharaj Prickett within the womb. So I want to talk a little bit about the Paramatma, this very plenary portion of Krishna that saved Maharaj Prickett, and what the super soul of the Paramatma is and how he functions in the lives of devotees. Here we see such a wonderful example of his acting very, very strongly and very directly, protecting and saving his devotee. But the super soul acts in many, many ways. He actually has many different functions within this world. Of course, we know that the progression is that within this material universe, of course, Krishna in the Vaikuntha is either Krishna in Goloka, or we see that Krishna expands as Narayan in the Vaikuntha planets in his forearm form, but then he also expands into this material world, and those are usually called the Purusha incarnations, the Vishnu incarnations. So Karnadakshya Vishnu, of course, lays on the causal ocean from his pores, from all the universe. He expands in each universe as Garbhadakshya Vishnu. Garbhadakshya Vishnu lays down in the Garbhadak ocean, the lotus flower comes from his navel, Lord Brahma is born, and he proceeds with the creation within each universe using the material elements that Krishna has provided. But there's a third expansion, and that is Shiradakshaya Vishnu. Shiradakshaya Vishnu is also known as super soul. Prabhupada has used the word sometimes super self. He's called Paramatma, he's called Vishvatma, the soul of the universe, called Antaryami. It's probably some other terms too, but so he's used, it's said, you know, many different ways and explanations. But the Paramatma, the super soul, is throughout the Bhagavatam. You know, sometimes you think, well, you know, we know there are three phases, three ways of understanding, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and we're really interested in Bhagavan realization, but yet Paramatma is mentioned everywhere throughout the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's a very, very important expansion or anga. Not an anga, really. It's an expansion, a plenary expansion of Krishna. So he is also the presiding deity of this universe. He has his own planet, an island, Swaidadweep, that's in the milk ocean. And that's why it's called Shiradakshai. Shira means milk, doesn't it? Yeah, so he's in the milk ocean, as Shiradakshai Vishnu. And the Brahman, the demigods, can go and speak with him if they need to, just like we saw in the beginning of Krishna book, in the 10th canto, in the beginning. When the earth was overburdened by the demoniac rulers, Lord Brahma and the demigods went to the shore of the ocean and they petitioned Shiradakshai Vishnu, the Lord of Swaidadweep, to help them. And so he said, yes, I will come, I will descend. And that's another one of his functions. Shiradakshai Vishnu is the source of all incarnations. Now, of course, there's many purports or Prabhupada explains. Some people think, Krishna is an incarnation because he came from Shiradakshai Vishnu. Yes, only externally. We all know that Krishna is the source of Shiradakshai Vishnu and all the other expansions. But apparently, seemingly, all the incarnations, including Krishna, come through Shiradakshai Vishnu. And actually, all the others do, in fact. So, he's the source of all incarnations, Prabhupada says in Purport 135. The Vishnu, who is the plenary portion of the Garbhadakshai Vishnu, is the supersoul of the universal life, and he is known as the maintainer of the universe, or Shiradakshai Vishnu. So the three features of the original Purusha are thus understood, and all the incarnations within the universe are emanations from this Shiradakshai Vishnu. So, of course, we understand and we appreciate in sort of an abstract way, okay, he's the Lord of the universe, all the incarnations are coming from him, very important part of creation. These are all important things for us to know and understand. But for the devotee, there's, you know, a lot more personal connection with the Paramatma and how he acts within the heart. Prabhupada says, it's Purport 322.4, the individual soul is the proprietor of the individual body, but the super soul, the personality of Godhead Krishna, is the proprietor of all bodies everywhere. He is the proprietor not only of human bodies, but of birds, beasts, all other entities, not only on this planet, but other planets also. The super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, is one, but he appears to be individually overseeing each individual soul. This does not mean that the individual soul and the super soul are one. They are one in quality as spirit soul, but the individual soul and super soul are different. So, you know, nice explanation that Srila Prabhupada gives. We're very familiar with this, of course, how the super soul enters within the heart of every living entity, every being, as Prabhupada says, you know, not just humans, but every plant. And Prabhupada even says at other places that he enters within every atom and between every atom. This is pretty inconceivable to me, at least. You know, how does Krishna do this? How does Krishna expand into every atom? You know, and that's something, of course, that the great yogis with their mystic vision understand, and of course, devotees also see when they're fully realized. You know, how Krishna is everywhere. And this is one of the ways to understand how Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is part of everything, and you know, even when we look at material nature, we can think Krishna is within the heart of every one of these living entities, every blade of grass, every tree, every bird, and he's also within every atom. Unimaginable, practically. But it's a wonderful realization, a wonderful vision to try to have, you know, or at least to think that way intellectually, you know, and kind of like, you know, get some feeling for that. So one of the roles of the Paramatma for the living entity is to give protection. And that's what we're seeing specifically in this verse, how Krishna, the Paramatma, the super soul within, who was in, of course, the heart of Uttara, Parikit's mother, and within Parikit's heart, protected him from this Brahmastra weapon. And so this is an important function that we can actually, we know that Krishna within our heart will protect us. There's all these prayers, you know, by the different denizens of higher planets in the fifth canto in chapter 20. And some are very interesting prayers, Lord Nrisinga, and some really great prayers in there. And this is one by the residents of Sakadweep. I don't know exactly where Sakadweep is. I assume it's a higher planet. Anybody know?
It's
one of the higher planets. Okay. Anyway, they prayed, O Lord, O super soul of everyone, O controller of the cosmic manifestation under whom everyone exists, may you protect us from all dangers. So we pray, of course, to Nrsingadev, we pray to Krishna, but we can also pray to the super soul within to protect us from danger. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.22.4, Prabhupada says in the purport, although individual souls are all different, the super soul or super self is the supreme personality of Godhead. When there is complete cooperation among different individual souls, the supreme personality of Godhead is super soul Paramatma, being one in every individual soul, is pleased and gives them all protection. So this protective role is there that Krishna fulfills as the super soul. And he also has a lot of many direct ways that we can understand the super soul and understand how Krishna works in our life. We understand, first of all, that we are struggling in this material world. We've been here for many births. How many we don't know. How many species of life of 8,400,000 we've gone through. When we are fortunate enough to take up spiritual life, we are guided and directed by Krishna, of course, and sometimes there's even some struggle to stay on that course. But throughout the soul's journey, from the most lowest conditioned soul, in the lowest body, to being to the point of total self-realization, understanding Krishna, the one constant is that Krishna is there as the super soul, and he remains our companion and witness to everything we're experiencing in this material world. We think of Krishna, and Krishna's mercy, and Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and Radharani's mercy. But also, think of the mercy here of the super soul, that he's willing to accompany us through the most degraded forms of life. He's there, as we go through worm bodies and pig bodies and everything. Srila Prabhupada writes, quoting somewhat or paraphrasing from the Svetashvatara Upanishad, 7.13.44 purport. This is the very familiar example, the analogy of the two birds in the tree. The body is called Chaitra, and there are two Chaitra Jas. Jas, that means knower of the body, or occupants of the body, namely the super soul and the individual soul. The super soul and the individual soul are like two birds sitting on the same tree of the material body. One bird, the individual, forgetful bird, is eating the fruit of the tree, trying to enjoy, not caring for the instructions of the other bird, which is only a witness to the activities of the first bird, who is his friend. When the forgetful bird comes to understand the supreme friend, who is always with him and trying to give him guidance in different bodies, he takes shelter at the lotus feet of that supreme bird, the friend. I've always thought that was just a wonderful example. I remember that in one of the first editions of Bhagavad Gita, that painting, the two birds in the tree and like that, and the one's trying to eat the fruit, and of course the other is just the witness, the super soul, watching and waiting. Waiting for, as it says, patiently waiting for us to then turn to him and say, Krishna, this material life is not working for me. Now I'm ready to surrender to you. So Krishna's always there, guiding the living entity, but he's guiding according to our desires. So the super soul guides all living entities generally, of course, and the devotees very specifically. So we'll talk about that a little bit. So Krishna the heart directs us in all stages, I was saying, in our journey back to Krishna. And I was thinking of six ways. This isn't from anything particularly, it's just the way I thought of the way I have organizing this a little bit. First, prior to devotional service, he's generally directing the living entities. Then the super soul helps bring the living entities to him. Then he purifies our hearts, then gives us direction to increase and enhance our devotional service. As that relationship deepens, the super soul directly inspires us in bhakti, and then finally, he fulfills the devotee's pure desires. So, again, with us through all of these different stages. So first of all, for all living beings, this is described in Bhagavad Gita 18.61. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridi shar dinatishtati brahmayam sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and he's directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. So first of all, he's directing all living entities, not just the human beings and not just his devotees. They're all getting direction. So how is this? Think, well, how is an animal or a plant getting direction from Super Soul? Well, think of this. I've mentioned this several times. I'm sure it's one of my favorites. This idea of instinct that the material scientists, you know, have. Basically, it's one of those things where I notice this, and there's several fields of science, including my own fields, where they don't really understand something very well, but you give it a name. And if you give it a name, it's kind of like, okay, check, I understand that. So, you know, when a bird migrates south for the winter, we call it instinct. They don't know what it really means or how it happened. Well, maybe it's through their DNA or something, but they don't really know. Well, Prabhupada told us, when Prabhupada said, instinct in animals is a combination of two things. One, he says there is some learned behavior. In other words, you know, the little bird follows, you know, the older birds, how they're going, and he learns how to do it. But how did the first bird learn? And Prabhupada said, that is the super soul. That is the super soul within the heart of that living entity telling them what to do. Because, you know, so many animals do so many things to help their survival that how would they know how to even do it? Why does each one have a little specific way? Because, and, you know, you can make all these scientific explanations about evolution, which we could argue about. And if you don't know how to argue about those, you can read Judah Karma or something. He's got all the arguments against evolution. But at any rate, the super soul helping the wanderings of all living entities. Now, for the devotees, it's more specifically. First, he gives us intelligence to know Krishna, to come back. In Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Krishna says, "Dadami buddhi yogam tam." I give the intelligence to come to me. How do we understand Krishna? How do we know? Krishna's giving instruction. Well, you can say the guru comes, yes. The guru gives instruction, but Srila Prabhupada spoke all over the world. I wonder how many people Srila Prabhupada spoke to or read his books. Millions, when you consider all the books. And he had 5,000 disciples, which is fantastic. He had 5,000 disciples, but that means a very large percentage heard Srila Prabhupada and didn't surrender, didn't become disciples, didn't take your Krishna consciousness. So you have to be given the intelligence, the direction by super soul within, and that's based upon desire. Because Krishna within is fulfilling the desires of all living entities as we wish. If we want to forget Krishna, he gives us full facility. If we want to remember Krishna, we have just a little inkling towards spiritual life, he guides us and directs us. Now, most of us, at least those of us in Western bodies, it's not like at some point we said, you know, I probably should surrender to Krishna. No, we didn't know who Krishna was. So we took a lot of guidance by Super Soul to bring us step by step to Krishna consciousness. Others who may have been fortunate to be more, maybe Vaishnavas by birth, maybe it's just a little nudge it took for Krishna. Okay, so for the sincere devotee, Krishna directs us and remembers that service. Bhagavad Gita says, in this endeavor there's no loss or diminution, a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So that, of course, dangerous type of fear is falling back into lower species of life. And protecting, no loss or diminution, means that all of our devotional service continues from one lifetime to the next. If we don't finish up in this lifetime, then that continues. So the soul travels on the subtle body from one life to another, and that, of course, is directed by the super soul to the next lifetime. Now, once one surrenders, or tries to surrender, wants to become a devotee, we all know there's a lot of purification to happen, right? We have a ways to go in the process of sadhana to become perfect. So right in the beginning, second chapter of Bhagavatam 1:2:17, it's described, Srinvatam Sakta Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridantas Dohi Bhadrani Vidanoti Surhitsitam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the super soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desires for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotees who has developed the urge to hear his message. That's a very powerful verse. In other words, this is the cleansing process, devotional service, to one who has the urge to hear his message, to one who is trying to surrender, wants to hear the message that Krishna is giving through the super soul. The super soul helps to cleanse our hearts. So, and he's also given specific direction. Sometimes when we have difficulty, what to do, what's the best thing to do in Krishna consciousness or in our life, we consult with others, we consult with devotees, we, of course, if our guru is available, our guru's instructions, we certainly consult that, or past acharyas, sadhu shastra. But sometimes we also promise that sometimes you have to look within and let super soul guide you. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.236 says, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being along with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. This is a verse in purport that I really, really like. Personality of Godhead is in every living being along with the individual soul. Look at the soul and the super soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. So sometimes you might think, well, I'm praying to Krishna, but I don't see super soul popping out of my heart, you know, 6-inch form, you know, size of a thumb in my heart, coming out with his four arms and giving me specific directions, saying, Tamahara, you should do this. No, it can happen. It can happen for devotees, but not always. But sometimes you get the intelligence, right? You say, oh, yes, you get a realization, you know, the light bulb going off, you know, or, you know, yeah, that's it. Or someone says something to you and go, oh, yes, Krishna's revealing to me. We see it many, many ways. That is super soul working through our intelligence. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how intelligence is the form direction of the super soul. Prabhupada says, actually, the Lord is not perceivable by our present materialized senses. But when one is convinced of the presence of the Lord by practical service attitude, there is a revelation by the Lord's mercy. And such a pure devotee, the Lord can perceive the Lord's presence always and everywhere. He can perceive that intelligence is the form direction of the Paramatma plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. Intelligence gives one direction like some higher authority, and the living being cannot see or move or eat or do anything without the use of intelligence. We know that. We use material intelligence all the time. You know, the senses act, the mind is sort of they all come to the mind decides, desires, yes, no, I want this, I don't, accepts and rejects. That's the function of the mind. And what's the function of intelligence? Intelligence is once the mind says, I want this, intelligence figures, okay, now how am I going to get that? Right? It's, in other words, the intelligence, it says, we cannot do anything without the use of intelligence. Such intelligence is all-pervading. Every living being has his intelligence, and this intelligence, being the direction of some authority, is just like a father giving direction to his son. The higher authority who is present and residing within every individual living being is the super self. Okay? So the intelligence, what is intelligence? The Prabhupada says it's what helps us to distinguish spirit and matter. What is spiritual? What is material? You know, and the super soul helps us to guide in that. Now, the super soul also inspires and directs devotees. Really nice verse in the Bhagavatam 4:30-20. Always engaging in activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all activities. The all-knower, the super soul within the heart of the devotees, makes everything increasingly fresh. So it's not just, you know, dryly giving us instruction, you know, like some teacher, but also helping make things fresh, blissful, interesting, exciting, more and more relevant to us. Srila Prabhupada's purport, this is a nice purport. A devotee is inspired by the super soul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. The devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he's in a stagnant position. And if we do feel that way, get back to our hearing and chanting. In the material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh. There's really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says he's situated in everyone's heart, and he helps the living entity forget and remember. 1515? Yeah. By the grace of the Lord, the devotee gets inspiration. As stated, those engaged in auspicious activities and devotional service are guided by the super soul, described in this verse as Gya, one who knows everything, past, present, and future. The super soul gives instruction to the sincere, unalloyed devotee so he can progress more and more in approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami says that the super soul, the plenary expansion of the Personality of Godhead, exists in everyone's heart, but in the heart of the devotee, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Being inspired by him, the devotee experiences increased transcendental bliss in the execution of devotional service. Very nice. And finally, Krishna fulfills the desires of devotees by granting devotional service, pure devotional service. And he gives devotional service and loving relationships. Very, very special. Bhagavatam 5.6.18 says, those who engage in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily, but he does not very easily give the opportunity to render direct service unto him. So it's a very special thing, this devotional service, especially pure devotional service, not easily granted by Krishna. Because what? Because that means Krishna gives himself to his devotee. So this bhakti, of course, is a great gift. And devotees is fulfilled through devotional service. Because there's a reciprocation with Krishna of knowledge and, of course, love, bhakti. The activity itself is not always the source of spiritual pleasure, but the relationship is. I was thinking, you know, many, many years ago, sometimes I would occasionally dress deities, like small deities. They never let me dress anything like Radha Krishna, Radha Shyamasundara. That was way beyond my skill set. But sometimes, you know, even if I was dressing like little Jagannath or something, I'd be in tremendous anxiety. You say, did you enjoy it? Do you enjoy dressing deities? No, I did not enjoy dressing the deities. All it did is put me in anxiety. I knew I was going to do something wrong. I was going to stick them with a pen. I was going to make it look ugly. I'm colorblind, so I had somebody pick out the colors and the jewels. Everything about it materially was difficult for me. And when I finished, I felt blissful, you know? So in other words, it's not about the activity. It's about, and I would look at Krishna and you would feel some reciprocation, you know, just a little bit. I mean, you know, it's like, oh yeah, Krishna somehow he's pleased with my bumbling service attempt here. So it's the relationship. It's the relationship that you're trying to serve with love more than the activity itself. Because Prabhupada would often say, one man can be working in a factory doing this, and others can do the same activity. One's a devotee. It's not the activity. It's the consciousness. It's the motivation. Why we're doing what we're doing, who we're doing it for. That's the difference. So we experience Paramatma within, or at least we often do. And we also see Paramatma within all living beings. In fact, it's a neophyte might, they say that, you know, when they talk about the three types of devotees and the Kanishadhikari, one example is always given, he may see Krishna the deity, but he doesn't understand that Krishna is also within everyone else. Now, of course, to actually see Krishna the deity is a very advanced stage. But the neophyte just says, oh, this is Krishna, you know, I come to the temple, I do my whatever, I do my worship, you know, and now he's not interested in the devotees or the guru or, you know, so much else. A more advanced devotee sees Krishna in the heart of everyone. And specifically, the second-class devotee serves the devotees of Krishna and makes friends with the devotees, serves those who are superior, makes friends with those on an equal level. And to those new people, a newer devotee, we extend compassion. We want to help them. They become devotees. So one is able to realize the super soul naturally from the process of bhakti yoga. We don't need to separately meditate on super soul. There's at least one chapter, you know, The Lord in the Heart of Srimad Bhagavatam, that has specific instruction, and there's other places too, about how to meditate on the super soul to gain Paramatma realization. You can find those instructions are there in different chapters in the Bhagavatam and in other scriptures. So it's no real secret how to do it. The problem is, it's very, very difficult. And it's generally done by, I was just reading in Brihad Bhagavatamrita again, and it's generally done by those residents of Tapaloka and Janaloka. In other words, very, very highly advanced sages. They're able to sit and meditate. They have that concentration of mind. And they have, you know, they got thousands of years to do it because they live so long. They live for like a day of Brahma, you know, which is what, 4,320,000,000 years, something like that, give or take. So they got a lot of time, and they have great concentration, and they're very highly advanced. They're free from material desire. They can meditate, and they can see Krishna in the heart. Not so easy for us. So we have been given Harinam Sankirtan for the sage of Kali. Harinam Sankirtan, and it's interesting, because when I was reading the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and Sanatana Goswami speaks about this a lot, and he's saying, it's a little side here, I'm off script, but Harinam Sankirtan, he says, is not just for the age of Kali. He says it's actually the perfect process for any time, anywhere, any age, on any planet, to chant the holy names of the Lord. He says that's actually the highest process, regardless of whether it's Kali Yuga or not. So we're very, very fortunate that we don't have to do thousands of years of meditation. We can simply chant the holy names of Krishna in kirtan or japa, you know, and quickly, they always say we can quickly realize Krishna. I think quickly is relative. You know, I think the longer Kali Yuga goes on, the less quickly, you know, it takes for us to become purified and see Krishna. But at any rate, it's a wonderful process, an easy process that everybody can do and see results. So we were able to realize the super soul naturally from the process of bhakti yoga. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29:20 says, as the chariot of air carries an aroma from its source and immediately catches the sense of smell, similarly, one who constantly engages in devotional service and Krishna consciousness can catch the supreme soul who is equally present everywhere. All right, glad we have a purport for this one. As a breeze carrying a pleasant fragrance from a garden of flowers, it once captures the organ of smell. So one's conscious, in other words, it's, you know, it's not just, if the flower were just there, you might not get to capture the smell, but the breeze carries it, the aroma to you. So one's consciousness, saturated with devotion, can at once capture the transcendental existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who in his Paramatma feature is present everywhere, even in the heart of every living being. The super soul, however, is equally present everywhere. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that a person saturated with devotional service in full Krishna consciousness can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either as super soul or as the Supreme Person. So the results of devotional service are explained here. One can have realization of Paramatma or super soul, with the example given here of the aroma carrying the smell. So the best way to understand Krishna within the heart is simply through devotional service, to engage in Krishna service, especially the chanting of Krishna's name, and that will bring us to full realization of super soul within the heart, but ultimately to Shyama Sundar, ultimately to Radha and Krishna within the heart. It's actually described that for a very, very advanced pure devotee, it's not exactly super soul giving direction. Krishna in the heart really manifests directly, or Radha Krishna in the heart manifests to that very advanced devotee and gives direction. Or Sanatana Goswami says, whoever one's Ishtadev, or you know, whoever one's beloved deity is, will manifest directly to that person and give instruction and then service to them. So for us, chanting the holy names of the Lord is the process. Bhagavatam 2.11 says, Etan nirvidya mananam ichatam akutubayam yoginam nirpanirinanam hare namatnam mam nukirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So whether one is a devotee, an impersonalist, a transcendentalist, or a materialist, the best process for everyone is Harinam Sankirtan, taking up the holy names of the Lord. So we understand that Krishna and his name are non-different. Krishna and the super soul are non-different. We can understand Krishna within the heart through this process of bhakti yoga and chanting his holy names. So we're a little late, it's probably in there. We start a little late too, of course. Is there a question or a comment anybody wants to make?
There are some comments you can read it. And this morning, when I was chanting earlier, I was thinking of the super soul within the trees and the flowers just outside.
Yes.
So then that made me think of all the lower species as well. And so does that mean super soul is there along with the soul of every living entity?
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, like, does Krishna just kind of hang out there? Because in trees, and you could be there for so long. And then is it only like the devotees who get inspiration from the super soul, because the non-devotees don't seem to? So I was just thinking about, like, it was funny that you were talking about super soul, because I was thinking about that this morning, about, you know, what, so Krishna just like stays with whatever species for the duration of their life, and then goes into the next species, or is it like that?
Basically, I mean, in other words, you know, the super soul can expand anywhere and everywhere. In other words, as I understand it, I'm not sure if I have this technically right, but as I understand, the super soul is accompanying the jiva. The jiva goes from, you know, in the subtle body, from one body to another bodily form after time of death and then rebirth, and the super soul is just accompanying that jiva. In other words, through all those births. And it's not like, I don't think it's like a new super soul. I mean, super soul is one, but he expands as unlimitedly. So we're way beyond what the mind intelligence can even begin to comprehend. You know, when we talk about the infinite nature of God and his potencies and his varieties, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. But yeah, that's what I understand. He simply travels along to the next body. Anything else? Was there anything else, Prangavini?
Yeah.
Oh.
There is a few comments.
Oh.
One text is, can you give some reference so I can study little more? This from Madhananda. I was just reading in the Samantak Jewel story that Krishna gave Satrajit the good intelligence when he was wondering how to amend his offense to the Lord, to give the jewel and the daughter to the Lord. This is just a comment of Mother Mahendrani. This is from Mother Mahendrani. Thank you for this wonderful, very inspiring class. I'll be constantly repeating the point that by practically engaging in devotional service, super soul will make everything increasingly new and fresh. Thank you. And this is from Mother Vishnu Priya. Can you explain what Srila Prabhupada meant by saying that we are all pure devotees? Did he mean because he put us on the pure path, or did he just say it just to inspire us further? That's a good
question. Why did Srila Prabhupada say we are all pure devotees? My understanding was because we are on the path of devotional service. I mean, there's many either scriptural statements even says, like, one who once chants the holy name of the Lord is no longer, you know, is free, is liberated. In other words, we're on the path. We're no longer ordinary materialists or karmis, as we used to say. Karmis is a legitimate word. It's one who is engaged in material activity. So even if we're not pure, we're on the pure path. We have surrendered to the pure devotee, you know, and we're practicing the process of pure devotional service. In other words, we're not practicing some mixed service. Prabhupada hasn't given us something, well, this is a little bit materialistic, but you can do it since we're not very advanced. No, he's given us pure devotional service. It's mostly a question of how much can we fully do it in pure consciousness. And so, in other words, liberation is there, but we have to kind of catch up with it. You know, it's like our consciousness isn't quite at the stage of the actual activity that we're doing. I can't recall. I was reading something in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Santana Goswami was saying something about that even if we're doing devotional service, and we're not, you know, and we're not pure devotee, and we're not fully realized, that service is actually pure, even if we don't realize it. The service itself is pure. So in that sense, we're pure devotees. But not that we go around and say, I'm a pure devotee. In fact, even an actual pure devotee doesn't think he's a pure devotee. Okay.
So the comment, the question is asking for reference. So he can study a few, little more on the super soul.
Reference to which part? The refresh one?
He typed, it's not clear, it says instinct. The super soul guides the bird, something he's trying to say.
Well, that's...
super soul works through the intelligence, etc.
Oh, okay. The form direction intelligence one, that is Bhagavatam 2236. The one directing the one who's all loving entities, that's the Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, 1861. Bhagavad Gita 1861. Were there any others? Oh, I don't have a reference on that. I read it, Srila Prabhupada, and I don't have the... I'll see if I can find that.
He also said that how the super soul guides the bird. You said
something. Yeah.
Is there an reference you want
to... No, I just made it up.
Oh.
Oh, no.
I mean, it makes sense.
I've read it in Srila Prabhupada's book. You know, if you're really interested in this, there's a wonderful book called Nature's IQ. It was written by some Hungarian devotees. It's in English, though. And they explain all of these things about how evolution cannot explain things like how birds do all these things and how it has to be guidance from Super Soul. I mean, it's a really, really, it's not a real long book, but it's a wonderful reference. You know, where I got a lot of information about how material nature and evolution works or doesn't work, and how there has to be divine guidance, divine intelligence in the whole process. You know.
Okay.
I'll see if I can find the other reference.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.